Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. They call it, or it has been called by the church, the divine service. Some say the mass. Some people just say worship. What is it? I think we tend to compartmentalize that hour on Sunday morning away from the rest of our life. Even Christians with the best intentions say, okay, I've got my Christian life, which is Monday through Saturday, and then there's worship on Sunday morning. Some people say, well, it's a mountaintop experience, or it's a time to get your gas tank filled up. What is it about? Is it about going there to serve God, to offer something to Him? How does it relate to the whole Christian life? We're going to talk about the divine service. Pastor Jim Remke is our guest. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The ABCs of Christian Living. Pastor Remke, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much, Todd. It's great to be on. Longtime fan, listened to you back in the old days on the KFUO in St. Louis in the seminary.
Thank you very much. That's nice to hear.
I'm very glad to hear you're back on the air.
And we are both happy to be back and happy to have you with us as we've come back. The term that's often used, divine service, seems a little odd to the uninitiated ear. Why have Christians, particularly those of the Reformation strife, referred to Sunday morning as the divine service?
Well, it really, when we think of the divine service, I think many people think about that and automatically go to the idea, well, yes, I'm going there to serve God. I'm going there to give God my praise, prayers and thanksgiving. I'm going there to give God my offering. But the Reformation brought about a new way of looking at what this divine service is. As you mentioned, it's also called the Mass. What is this Mass? What do we receive here? In contrast to the Roman Catholic view of the Mass as being our sacrificing Christ in a bloodless sacrifice, and also in contrast to the radical reformers who said that it has to be a personal experience in which we serve God, Lutherans have always looked at the divine service, in German known as Gottesdienst, as God's service. And that's primarily what it is. It's God serving us with His gifts that He gives us, the gifts that Christ earned for us on the cross of Calvary. And that's what everything in the divine service is about sinners receiving this blessed gift of Christ crucified for them, of hearing in everything that's done, from the invocation to the benediction, being reminded in everything that Christ has done this for us, and it's Christ who's serving us. It's Christ's gifts that we receive, and ultimately the only thing we can do is raise our hands up as poor beggars, empty hands, to receive that gift that Christ has given us in the divine service through His word and through His body and blood given on the altar, remembrances of baptism and confession and absolution. It's all about God's service for us and our response then to Him as simply as beggars.
You understand, Jim, that what you've just said there flies in the face of virtually all of American Christianity's view of Christian worship, and sad to say, it flies in the face of what's being propagated even in Lutheran and Reformation circles in many places about what Sunday morning's all about. They would say, no, it is about what I do for God. It's about what I go there to offer God. It's about the service I perform for God on Sunday morning.
Certainly, and that is, there's nothing that Satan likes more than to take our eyes off of Christ crucified and have us gazing in at ourselves. He wants us to focus on what we're doing for God, because if we're looking at ourselves, as we look at the beautiful gospel lesson for this coming Sunday about the sheep and the goats. When we're looking at ourselves, we forget about Christ altogether, and we're hamstrung. We're unable to really do anything good. And when we keep our eyes focused on Christ, that's when we're doing these good works and we don't even know about it. In the same way in the divine service, there is an aspect to the divine service, to God's service to us, in which we respond with service. We respond to His service first through our prayer, praise, thanksgiving, our responses to those things. One thing that's really helped me, and I think it's helped a lot of my parishioners, I also teach freshmen and sophomores at our West Michigan Lutheran High School here in the Grand Rapids area, and something that really helps is a little nugget, a little gem I received from Pastor Will Whedon. He mentioned on his blog one time, is it a W principle or an M principle? Meaning, where does the work start? In the W principle, this is all true Christian worship. All true Christianity starts with God, and that's why the W. It starts from above, comes down to us, and we respond in a continuing loop, that is. But it always starts with God. And it is very difficult for us who are so full of ourselves to think that it doesn't start with us. And honestly, my own opinion as a teenager and even when I started the seminary, was that it's about what I'm offering God. It's about me going to church. It's about me praying to God. But the Lord says Himself in the Psalms, the cattle on a thousand hilltops are mine. I don't need your sacrifices. You need what I have to give you, and I give it freely. This is the beauty of the divine service. God is serving us, just as He served His disciples on that Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, by taking off His own outer garments and washing their feet. This is what happens, and our response should be that of Paul's, after he's been rebuked for trying to serve the Lord instead of the Lord serving him. Not just my feet, Lord, wash my head, wash my body, wash everything. This should be our response when we meet Christ in this divine service. Not just this, Lord, but you do everything for me. This is what divine service is about, is reveling and taking great joy in the blessing that Christ has and continues to do everything for us.
When we come back from this break, man, I wish we had more than just another 10 minutes with Jim Ramke, but when we come back, we'll do as much as we can in the last 10 minutes of this first hour, talking about the divine service, talking about what it is God does deliver to us, in particular on Sunday morning through historic Christian worship. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 19th. We're talking about the divine service. Pastor Jim Ramke, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan, is our guest, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The ABCs of Christian Living. It really is about the Christian life, because the Christian's life is Christ's life, not the Christian's. It's not the life you live. It's a life He lives for you and through you. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. Stay tuned.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Daniel Erb, Jeff Worth, Bernice Erb, Mark Leyenbauer, Scott Helverson, Wayne Salick, Bob Burnside, Todd Schultz, and John Thacker. Thanks for your support.
Old Theology, New Technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Divine Service. Pastor Jim Remke is our guest. If you care to comment, 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Time is running out, by the way, folks. As the end of the year approaches, many congregations are already making up their mind, maybe already have made up their mind about their 2009 budget. That's why, if you're interested in proposing to your congregation that it become part of the Issues Etc. 300 congregations that pledge in their annual budget to support Issues Etc. At least $1,000 a year, it's time to start moving. You can do it first by just clicking and going to our website, issuesetc.org, and in a matter of seconds, you will have a printable, downloadable flyer, if you click Sponsors, that tells you everything you need to know and your congregation needs to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. It only takes a few seconds, and you can bring it right to your congregation, to your pastor, and ask them about joining the Issues Etc. 300, issuesetc.org, click Sponsors, download the flyer. It's right there for you. Pastor Remke, the form of historic Christian worship has changed very little, although the language and the wording does change over time. But it always begins the same way, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It also ends that way. Why is Christian worship historically bookended by the name of God?
Well, really to remind us primarily of our baptism and remind us who it is that's serving us. It's so easy to have this idea of who God is and who we're serving to be muddied up, and you know, looking through historical Christian documents and confessions of faith, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, our Lutheran confessions, they all start with primarily defining which God it is we're worshiping, because you know, frankly, in today's age, when we hear about Allah and just generic God, it's easy to become confused. And we as Christians worship God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the one in three, as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, whoever will be saved must above all else hold the Catholic faith, and the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God. It's two. Matthew 28:19, a verse I'm sure all Christians are familiar with, the Great Commission, when Christ himself says, go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in what? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we begin our worship, and also important to note that the sign of the cross may be made in remembrance of our baptism, a reminder for us and to those who are around us. As we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and also a reminder to Satan, I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. I have been washed in his waters, and I have been redeemed through his word. Often closing in the benediction with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers 6, 24 through 26, the blessing in the three, the reminiscent of the triune God, not specifically using Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but using the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and lift up his and grant you his peace. I always get that one mixed up. I always have to look at it from the book, no matter how much I've memorized it, so I apologize if I've mangled that a bit. But it's calling to mind again, this God that we serve is one. He is the Lord. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's one of the greatest mysteries of Christianity. It can't really fully be explained, but that's what we always begin and end in, for it is in his name that we are served.
Why is sin so much a subject, and the forgiveness of sin so much a subject, running through historic Christian worship?
Well, it has to be. if we weren't sinners, we wouldn't need God's service. If we weren't sinners, there would be no reason for us to come to church on Sunday. That's why right after the invocation, which reminds us of the fact that we are sinful and unclean, and we had to be washed and purchased through the waters of baptism by the blood of Christ, right after that we have the service of confession and absolution, in which we confess that we are by nature sinful and and in Divine Service 1 from our Lutheran service book, we also have that great reminder from 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So there we have right there, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, this is where God's service comes in so beautifully. We come to him as sinners. As I said before, we come to him with empty hands, coming to raise up empty hands as beggars to receive from him the gifts he gives us. And when we do that, when we come to him with nothing, he gives us everything. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you see where the emphasis is there. It's God who is faithful and just. It's God who will forgive us of our sins. It's God who is serving us now. And then we get to hear that great, after confessing our sins, after a moment of silence, bringing to mind how we've sinned against his holy commandments, then we get to hear these wonderful words. Almighty God in his mercy has given his son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. This is, again, pointing us back to Christ and him crucified. For his sake, for Christ's sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. And therefore, this is one of my favorite parts of the service, I get to stand in the stead of Christ. I mean, who doesn't love to give a gift? And when it's this kind of gift that comes from Christ, I get to be the bearer of this gift of absolution in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is for Christians to receive this service from God, and it just keeps getting better.
The usually the middle part of historic Christian worship is occupied with the Word of God, but not just, I notice, with reading from Scripture or preaching from Scripture, but everything that's woven around the preaching of God's Word is also drawn directly from Holy Scripture.
Exactly. And really, the whole divine service, it always kind of confuses me when people say, oh, your liturgy has nothing to do with the Word of God. We believe in the Bible. We don't need any of that stuff. A great feature, and really completely invaluable to our new Lutheran service book, is the fact that after each part of the liturgy, it tells us where this comes from in Scripture. It's not just the service of the Word that focuses and centers around God's Word. From the beginning to the end, we are proclaiming God's Word. God is teaching us how to speak to him by giving us the Word he has spoken to us first. And again, you see there how that W is in play. It always starts with God. He is teaching us how to speak. He is forgiving us our sins. He is telling us that our sins are forgiven, even though we're poor, miserable sinners. And then we get to hear from the pastor that our sins are forgiven in the sermon. We get to hear from the pastor, it doesn't matter how greatly you have sinned, turn in repentance and receive this great service from God. It's wonderful, and really, the service of the Word takes us really to the first peak of the divine service.
Well, with only about a minute here, then direct our eyes to the second peak, to Christ's own body and blood there for us for the forgiveness of sins. And we have only about a minute before we need to wrap up our conversation, Jim.
I'll try to do my best. The second part of the divine service is then the service of the sacrament, in which everything before this has been preparation for this great thing, in which Christ gives us his body and blood, again, totally wrapped up in his words and the words of institution. His body and blood are given for us for the forgiveness of sins. It's not us making a sacrifice to Christ. It's Christ giving us his great sacrifice that was laid out on the altar of the cross, that we take and eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. This is the comfort of the divine service, is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt from beginning to end that God has served us, God will continue to serve us, and he gives us forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Jim Remke is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Middleville, Michigan. We're going to have him back on and let him do this in long form. We asked him to do an awful lot in a very short amount of time. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled The ABCs of Christian Living. Pastor Remke, thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
We're going to post a link tonight to this youth magazine called Higher Things under the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, a pastor's roundtable on the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. We'll gather here in the studio with Pastor Brian Holly of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, Pastor Paul Hemenway of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois, and then on the phone for our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Kurt Onken of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc., our pastor's roundtable, beginning a series on the Lord's Prayer. When we come back from this break, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Pastor Will Whedon will be up first. We're going to be talking with him about a 13th century princess of Hungary, Elizabeth the Hungry. What in the world are we doing remembering a 13th century Hungarian princess? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break as the church remembers Elizabeth. And then Pastor David Chatty will conclude his three-part series with us on the gospel and the Christian family. A lot of things to cover in that last 45 minutes of the program. We'll talk about the family as the basic unit of government and human authority. We'll talk about the family as the principal place for a child's education, a refuge throughout life, and the family as a community of believers, the house church, not churches meeting in houses, but the church that is your house and your home. When we come back, we'll talk about all of that on Issues Etc. Feel free to join us in the next hour of the program with questions or comments. Talk back at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.